Weber 902, a little late today, on a Tuesday morning, on discussing Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvah 197, lending money. There are sheets, lending money. This happened in
Baltimore. Because we're starting late, Bruce, we're going to take it 2 minutes from Bruce's time. He won't be able to share at all. Okay, so we took a break because we had a week on Purim. But if you recall, we're in the middle of one of the things we've noticed in our travels through the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos is that although nobody ever really came up with an exact explanation for how he ordered the mitzvos, like why one is one and one is 613, it is obvious to us, it's become obvious to us that he did it by units. Yeah. The Rambam sat down and said, okay, now I'm going to do a bunch of mitzvos relating to X. Now I'm going to do a bunch of mitzvos relating to holidays. Okay. Now I'm going to do a bunch of mitzvos relating to karbanot. We are in a section of a bunch of mitzvos that I would call tzedakah. Okay? There was a mitzvah specifically called tzedakah. There was a mitzvah called ha'anaka, which I translated it incorrectly as pensions. It was more like severance pay. In which we saw that even though you're not legally obligated, say in the case of an Eved Ivri, he has a debt to you of $6,000, and the court decides that, you know, he would basically be able to knock off $1,000 a year by working for you. He works for you for 6 years. At the end of those 6 years, you're even. Nevertheless, says the Torah, ha'aneg ta'aniklo, you have to give him a gift. Okay, and we discussed, was it a monetary obligation? Was it a tzedakah obligation? Well, it's clearly in the realm of trying to help people. You know, the prevalent theory was it's a form of individualized social engineering. In the sense that if you let a guy go, okay, he had a debt to you, now he's paid it off, but he's at zero. You know, he has no way to support his family. It's pretty likely that something bad will happen, and so the Torah requires you. Okay? Now we're up to a mitzvah, which I called lending money. That's easy, because that's what it is. We'll have to deal with, I think, the question that bothered me when I looked at it the first time is that, isn't lending money part of the mitzvah of tzedakah? When we discussed the mitzvah of tzedakah, we saw the Rambam felt strongly that, sort of counterintuitively, if you would ask me, what's the best form of tzedakah, I would say, if you would ask me, I would have said, without, because I'm obviously not as smart as you, I would have said, you know, writing a big check.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, writing a big check, that's, but turns out, no, lending money is a higher form of tzedakah than writing a check. Okay? So I'm stuck with, and we'll have to talk about, well, then how did it become the case that there's a separate mitzvah of lending money? If mitzvah 195, and believe me, it is 195, is tzedakah, then why is mitzvah 197 lending money? How could lending money not be included in the mitzvah of tzedakah? Okay, we'll have to get there, but that's just for starters. Now, what's the source for the fact that there's a mitzvah to lend money? And let's admit it. If I asked you without anybody knowing this, I think most people would assume there's no mitzvah to lend money. There's a mitzvah of tzedakah, and within that mitzvah, there you know there are different forms of doing that, like giving the guy a job, like lending.
In case of, if you
we're getting there, okay, we'll start there now. Fine. Number one, Mr. Weiser gets to dictate because he came to my house on Purim. So, the pasuk in Mishpatim in number one says as follows. Mr. Weiser is not like you. He doesn't need alcohol to feel religious. Only people, you know, on that. Okay. The pasuk says as follows. In kesef talveh et ami. That's the pasuk Mr. Weiser was referring to. Somebody translate fairly. In kesef talveh et ami.
When you...
No, what is in kesef?
Im
or with?
1 second. So, im in Hebrew, right? I say im atamagia means if you show up, then I'll give you lunch. If you don't show up, I won't. That's not what it means in this pasuk. But we have to translate fairly. Im kesef talveh etami, you know, if you lend money to my people, et ha'ani imach, who should you lend to? A poor person. Now that's another interesting issue left to talk about. Could it be that there's a mitzvah to lend money interest free to somebody who's not poor?
A business loan, right?
Huh?
No, but is it a mitzvah that is?
Right, would that be included in a mitzvah? Now, loti, so now just the general rule, loti yalo kinoshe, don't aggressively seek repayment. Loti simun alav neshech, don't impose interest, don't impose other restrictions. Okay. So now this is the makar, I'm telling you now, this is the source for the mitzvah d'oraisa of lending money. Except I submit that every single one of us would have read this pasuk otherwise. I would have read this pasuk to say, if you lend money, here are the rules relating to lending money. Okay? But that's not the accepted halacha. So let's look at the real source for the din is a mechilta. I quoted it from Rashi because it's easier, but the real source of this is a mechilta. Mechilta, of course, is a medrash halacha. Mechilta is the midrashe halacha, the halacha that you learn out in Shmos. Sifra is the midrash halacha on Vayikra. And Sifrei is Bamidbar and Dvar. Midrashe halacha were written by Tanaim. They're like Mishnayos, so they're like minor league Mishnayos. But they're, you know, when you look at real sources in Torah Sheba Al Peh, Midrashe Halacha really come before Gemaros. They're a very, very important source. The reason why people don't learn Midrashe Halacha is because it's deathly boring. Because there's no flow to it. It's just, this is a limud on this pasuk, this is a drasha on that pasuk. You know, at least if you read Midrashe Agada, the kind of, you know, legends that we grew up on, okay, it kind of, you know, it has a certain flow to it and it's exciting, so it's hard for people to learn Midrash Halacha. But Rashi is more or less quotes the Mechilta. Im kesef talvet ami, Rabbi Yishmael omer, he's a Tana, kol im ve'im shebat Torah rishut. Every time the Torah says im, it really means if. It's optional. Chutz mishlosha, except for three exceptions, v'ze echad mehem. This is one of them.
What are the other two?
One second. I anticipated that question. I looked it up this morning. Okay. V'zeh echad mehem. This is one of them. So, what it means is, the pasuk doesn't say, im kesef talveit ami. It says, when. Im here means not optional, but mandatory.
Im, it means if.
Or when.
But not, it means if, except for three places in the Torah. Im kesef talveit ami. Im mizbach avanim tivneli, which you might think, if you build a mizbach of stone, the answer is no, you're chayv to build a mizbach of stone. And im minchat bikurim takriv l'Hashem lokecha, which you would think means, if you bring bikurim to Hashem. And the drasha is no, even though it says im, you're obligated to bring bikurim from your first fruits. Now, obviously, any intelligent person would ask, well, the Torah knew how to say when. The Torah knows how to use the imperative. There must be a reason why there are three examples, and only three examples, where the Torah says if, but means when. Sadly, I didn't find much on this.
It gives a little wiggle room.
That's the point. There is no wiggle room. This is as mandatory, we'll see, as keeping Shabbos. It would be as if you said, you know, im takdish et yom hashvi'i, but the answer is it doesn't mean if, it means when. Now, it would be disrespectful to the Torah to think that there's not a limud to be had here, right? The Torah, now, just like it would be disrespectful to the Torah to say that when the Torah says ayin tachat ayin, it does mean money, it doesn't mean poke at the other guy's eye, but there must be a reason why the Torah uses those words. A person who's respectful of the Torah and of the process understands that there must be a limud here. I'll suggest something without any support, but it speaks to me. I like the idea that you feel like you have a choice, even though the Torah says that it's a mitzvah. And precisely in this area, meaning I don't go to shul and, you know, walk around and do you need a loan? Do you need a loan? Can I give you a loan? Like, it would be strange.
Some say, can I have a loan?
It would be strange. Instead, so it's really the kind of thing, like, and I'll be honest, it's It's 15 years since I made a significant loan to a person, you know, who, to be clear, only paid me back half. But that, so that's
still
that's
not,
but I'm saying, I think there's something very beautiful about the idea that it feels optional, because in a way it is optional, even though the Torah says, see, when the Torah says you have to keep Shabbos, okay, I know when Shabbos comes, and I know what it means that I have to keep Shabbos. When the Torah says you have an obligation to lend money, it still leaves a lot of it up to me. Because under what circumstances, who do I lend the money to? So I think that, and frankly, when I do lend money, the time that I did it, I didn't feel obligated. I really felt very good about it, that I was in a position to try to help this person, and that I did help this person. So I, if you ask me, my drasha on why it says im here when it doesn't mean im, is because when you do it, you really do feel like choice. Now you made it, you had a choice to do this, you chose to do it. Great, you were yotzei mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay,
it,
yes.
Could it be that the way the pasuk is written, there's a stop line to make a space between im kesef, it's if you have the money.
So it's fantastic, it's just not the halacha. Meaning, you're right that...
Because if you don't have
it money, is contingent. Right? If you don't have money...
It's a reminder that
so
the money isn't yours.
So in mincha, okay, you know what? That's fantastic.
Okay.
It's a little awkward in the pasuk. Im kesef, then talveh.
But there's a space there. If you look at the truck, there's a line.
No, im kesef talveh is the way it works. Read.
Well,
okay.
This is the way they wrote it.
Kesef talveh.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, you're right. You got a line there. That's so cool.
Okay. So now what?
So Rabbi Google, but not. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, there's a line there.
In case, okay.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Well, why is building a roof any different? If you build a roof,
what's
then you
got
to put a parapet. It's sort of
many mitzvahs.
So
yeah.
Many mitzvahs use that phraseology.
So you disagree with his theory?
Not necessarily.
You have to have a roof.
The difference is no.
You have to have a roof.
If you build a roof.
Okay, Bruce's question is as follows. Why isn't the same as, you know, when you, because there too it says, have, how's that pulse start? I can't do it.
Be cold.
The ma'ake, v'asisa, ma'ake l'gagecha. Ki tivneh bayit chadash, v'asita ma'ake l'gagecha. It's contingent until it's not contingent.
Right.
Okay, your only mezuzah is contingent until it's not contingent. A homeless person doesn't have a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah.
So why do you say these three are unique? It strikes me that many mitzvahs are
unique. It doesn't use the word im.
Oh, there's no im there.
Right,
oh,
it's just the word im. It's not the contingent nature of it. It's just a diuk in the word.
Okay,
let's read Rashi. Let's continue Rashi. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Kol im ve'im sheba Torah reshut chutz mishlosha v'zeh echad mehem. Now the drasha continues in the pasuk. Im kesef talve et ami, ami vegoi, ami kodem. Okay, two people need a loan, a Jew and a Gentile. The Jew gets it first. Ani v'ashir, ani kodem. Poor person and a rich person. The poor person gets the loan. Already here, by the way, there's a hint that there might be a mitzvah to lend to rich people, which we'd have to deal with, because it's only a question of priority. It's not a question of, you know,
well, it's
whether.
Common sense, you got a better chance of being paid back.
That's not how it works. Okay? In fact, the halacha is the less chance you have of getting paid back, the bigger mitzvah it is. Okay. Aniye ircha va'aniye ir acheret. Your neighbor and somebody who lives far away both need a loan. Aniye ircha kodmin. Poor people in your community get priority. Vizem mashmao im kesef talveh. Et ami talvehu velo legoy. Right? That's the simple reading of the pasuk. If you lend money, lend it to your people and not to Gentiles. Ula ezeme ami, which person from your people? Et ani, the poor person. Ula eze ani, laotan sheimcha, laoto sheimcha, the person who's your neighbor. That's the simple pshat. Davar acher et ani, shelotin nahegbo minhag bizayon behalvaa. Shehu ami, a lovely drasha. What does it mean that ami, my people? It means you should treat the recipient of the loan as if he's your people. Treat him respectfully, treat him with dignity. You know, don't harass him. Okay.
Is there a mitzvah to lend to a non-Jew?
Yeah, but you're supposed to harass him.
So that's next week's mitzvah. There is a mitzvah, no, not to harass him, but there's a mitzvah to lend to a Gentile with interest.
Right.
It's next week's mitzvah. Let's do this week's, and next week we'll do next week. Okay? Now, it's fair to ask, everybody's so religious that no one wants to ask this question. Meaning, how did Rabbi Shmuel know that im kesef doesn't mean if, it means when? So one answer, just this always interests me. One answer is, whenever you have a reading of a pasuk that's inconsistent with the simple reading, there are generally two possibilities. One is we just say, halach l'moshe mi-sinai, means we don't say it, we mean it. Like, I believe that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har-Sinai and he said, the pasuk says, ayin tachas ayin, shein ta, an eye for an eye, he said, that's what the pasuk says, but God told me, that's not what the pasuk means. So one possibility is that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har-Sinai, he said, the pasuk says, im kesef talveh tami, but im doesn't mean if, in this context it means when. We don't think that that's the case here. It turns out that there's another pasuk and another parsha in the Torah that really is the parsha that we did 2 weeks ago about Staka. Look at source number two. It's a pasuk in Re'eh. The Torah says, ki yihyeh b'cha evyon, there's a poor person, me'achad achecha, be'achad sharecha, ba'artzecha, asher Hashem alokecha, notein lecha. Right, there's a poor person who lives near you, whatever. Lo ta'ameitzat levavcha, don't close your hand, v'lo tikpotzat yadcha me'achicha avyon, don't withdraw your hand from giving him money. Rather, ki patoach tiftachet yadcha lo, you should open your hand to him. And here's the words that we didn't really focus on last time when we did this. V'ha'aveit ta'avitenu de'mach saro ashe yechsar lo. V'ha'aveit ta'avitenu is generally understood as meaning you should lend him money. Okay? So it turns out that the limud in our pasuk of im kesef talveh is really based on another pasuk. Because there's a pasuk in Sefer Devarim that says ha'avei ta'avitenu, you should lend him money, and it's read kind of as an imperative. So we reread the pasuk in Mishpatim in source number one to change the im to be when and not if. Okay, that's just, if you're interested in how limudim work, limudim, you know, that's why it's so hard for us. When you're a super genius, and you're like looking at all the psukim together, you could put things together and say, well, you're right, if I just had the pasuk in Mishpatim, I probably read im as meaning if. But I also have a pasuk later on in Devarim that says ha'avei ta'avitenu, where it sounds mandatory. Now I reread the pasuk in Shmos as making the im to be mandatory. By the way, that would then require us to look at the other two cases to find another reason why they reread im as an imperative and not conditional.
But doesn't this say goyim and nations as opposed to individuals?
No, you mean in Dvarim? No, where do you see
where
that?
Does it say goyim?
It's individual. Rather, ki patach tiftachet yadcha lo, singular, individually.
If you look in the sixth pasuk, it talks about God will bless you as He promised you. You will extend loans to many nations.
That's a bracha that God gave us.
So,
but this is an individual thing.
You don't encapsulate what?
No, okay. No, it wouldn't work. Right. Okay, now having done all that by way of introduction, let's look at the Rambam. Let's look at how the Rambam lists this mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvos 197, source number 3. V'hamitzvah ha'kuf tzadi zayin hi shetzivanu lehalvot le'ani leharchiv lo ulehakel. It's either inyano or the word ani kind of misspelled. There are two different girsas in the Rambam. Says the Rambam, what's the mitzvah? We are commanded to lend money to a poor person. And then he has a strange phrase. Leharchiv lo, literally to expand him, ulahakel inyano or aniyuto. And to lahakel is to make lighter, right. I suppose.
To lighten his poverty.
To light what?
To make it easy.
So my understanding is as follows. If you're giving him money,
then in a certain way you're kind of curing his poverty because you just gave him $10,000. He's no longer a poor person. But when you lend him the money, right, you haven't really changed his status because now he owes the $10,000. But you've bought him, you know, a year of comfort, an idea that now he can go out and make a wedding. He can go out and buy clothing for his children and food. Yes, he has to pay. You haven't fixed the fact that he's poor, but you have lahakel alav. You have lightened his burden in the fact that, you know, like, when I used to be a lawyer, so when people would close loan deals, it would always be, you know, there would be like big celebration, you know. And I would think to myself, the big celebration, they now owe $652 million. Like, what are they celebrating? But the answer is, they bought themselves 10 years of operating, you know, money, and now they can run their business. So I think that's why the Rambam says that. You didn't fix it, but you lightened his burden.
Maybe you just want to handle this later, but I always heard this, in effect, loan is just a euphemism for give away.
I don't really want to deal with that because I think the Rambam means it, but there are sources that say that.
Okay.
That, you know, the best way to make a loan is the guy really needs the money, but he doesn't want to be humiliated. There really is, it's so different than our conception of stucco. And again, our conception of stucco has been ruined, you know, again, because nobody trusts the people who knock on their door, or because there's a whole class of people. But there was a time where the halacha was really sensitive to the fact that he needs the money, but he doesn't want to ask you for it. It's so different than our experience. And so under that conception, there is an idea of, you know, I'll lend you the money, and then, you know, maybe I'll never come back. I'll never ask you for it. You know, it's true. But I think the Rambam really believes that a real loan also constitutes, and that's really what we're talking about.
The shear is proceeding on the basis of the
I think when I use the word loan, I really mean... But again, I really mean a loan that is intended to be repaid, but you're very restricted in how you can claim the money. And so, yes, there's probably a good chance, which is why Mr. Levy likes to lend money only to rich people.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Is this limited to money?
Mr. Levy lent money to the guy who then bought his house and knocked it down.
Okay, and made a swimming pool and a tennis court.
It's called. By the way, there's a thing. It's called seller financing, right? Mm-hmm. I want to sell you something. Stores have that also. When you buy on credit from stores, they are financing, you know, your purchase of the. Of the item. Okay,
is
back
this,
inside.
Is this limited only if you need your car or any...
So halva right now is money.
Just money.
Now, I could say definitively, the Rambam never dealt with the situation of lending you his car.
You're done.
We're in a barter society.
Okay. Let's go on. Umitzvazo, end of the first line. Umitzvazo hi hayoter chazaka... V'yoter mechuyevet mikol mitzvot staka. That's a pretty strong statement. Says the Rambam, the mitzvah of lending money is stronger and more obligatory than the mitzvah of giving staka. Okay? That's really what we mentioned. He really thinks... Now again, here the Rambam, you can't miss the fact, the Rambam really sees them as two different mitzvot. He counts them as two different mitzvot. Again, 195 is a mitzvah of stuff. 197 is a mitzvah of lending money. And he says, you know what? 197 is a more important mitzvah than 195.
I think because it contains the element of rehabilitation.
Okay, it could. It could. Let's do the Rambam first. Why? So he explains in the second line. Ki mi shenit bazeh, a person who's already been embarrassed, V'gila panav lish'ol midei ha'anashim, and he's embarrassed to the point that he actually has to ask people for money. Ein tsarut inyano sar me'alav. That person, he's seen as poor. He sees himself as poor. The community sees him as dependent on them, and he's not. That's a hard thing to escape. Kimo ha'mechuse. The Rambam says if you could stop a person from asking for a handout, you've done a greater thing than handing out money to a person who asks you for it. Right? The implication is that the person who you're lending money to is not completely destitute. Right? If the guy is completely destitute and unemployed, he has no way to pay you back. It's not really a loan, and everybody knows it. But I think what the Rambam is saying, to lend to a person, here's what's so fascinating, because presumably this guy needs the money less than a guy who's completely destitute. But the Rambam says you can help this person to not fall to the bottom rung. And if you help him, that's a greater mitzvah. Because it protects his dignity. Years ago, I watched a movie called The Cinderella Man. Okay? It's about a boxer in the Depression. I forget his name. It was a great movie. But here's the fascinating thing. He's trying to get his promoter to help him. It's a depression that no one has any money, and the guy lives in a fancy building, and he won't see him. He's banging on the door. Finally, they let him in. There's no furniture. He had sold everything he owned, but to keep up appearances, he still lived in a fancy building. But he couldn't afford it. And always, like, that's the example I think about when people want to protect their dignity. You don't want people to know that you have no money. You don't want people to know how in debt you are. Says the Rambam, when you lend somebody money, you're protecting his dignity. Because it's not clear that he'll never pay you back. It's not clear that he doesn't have the money. And he doesn't have to beg. The Rambam thinks that nobody, again, it's against our experience, nobody wants to ask for a handout. That's the premise of the Rambam. Yes?
Well, I was going to say that it seems that the Rambam is saying the mystery is great if you preempt the person. If you
I think that's it. Right. If I didn't say that, I meant to say that. That the ability to give him money while he could still, in theory, pay you back. And while you
present. And him not asking for it.
Right. So it's hard, I have to say, it's hard to know how to do that. But like, if, in my own life, like, how do you know who's a person who you should reach out to? You know, like, you could pay close attention. Maybe here, I find that hard to.
You have to really penetrate into his personal
life.
Right. Then you get emails about startups, friends who are starting businesses. They're asking for loans to start.
Or okay. I'll admit, so that's a good question. Is that. Maybe we'll get to there. You know, I think of that as an investment. Right? I think it's different. But investing is different than lending.
Uh-huh.
And especially because lending in halacha means you get back exactly what you lent. And if you get more, that's a problem of ribis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're allowed to invest in a startup. And the investment is clear. You know, I could lose all my money or I could make it big. But that's different than lending.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back in the Rambam. Fourth line. V'hatzivuy b'mitzvah zo. Hu amaro yitaleh. How do I know there's such a mitzvah? The Rambam quotes our pasuk. Im kesef talvet ami etani imach. Now he quotes the Michilta. We saw it in Rashi. V'lashon Michilta. Kol im ve'im shabat Torah rishut. All uses of the word im in the Torah mean if. Chutz mishlosha. Except for three exceptions. Echad mehem im kesef talvet etami. Amru im kesef talvet chova. Now. Ata omer chova o einer el rishut. Maybe it im actually means im, if. Talmud lomar v'ha'avei tavitenu chova v'lo rishut. So the Michilta quotes the pasuk we had quoted in Devarim saying, how do I know that im doesn't mean if? Because it says later on, v'ha'avei tavitenu, you have to lend him money. Okay? So what we have so far is a mitzvah of tzedakah, and a more important mitzvah, a more focused mitzvah, of lending money. We haven't yet answered the question of, aren't they really one and the same? Isn't lending money just a form of tzedakah? But we know that the Rambam is a big fan of lending money, and he calls it a mitzvah yoter chazaka from the mitzvah of tzedakah, and we understand why.
He lived on tzedakah.
No, he didn't.
Well, he brought his brother and helped him out.
That's not a handout. He had a deal with his brother.
Yeah.
And when his brother died,
right,
the Rambam went to medical school.
Yeah.
The Rambam could not be any clearer. Mm-hmm. The Rambam is against kolels, is against handouts, thinks that your ability to learn Torah is based on you being self-supportive. The Rambam didn't want to be the doctor to a harem. He did it because he had to support himself, and he's very clear about that. And he's very clear that his brother didn't give him tzedakah. They had a deal. What we now call Yisachar and Zvulun. Okay, quick story. Yisachar and Zvulun is this deal that, like, you know, you learn and somebody else supports you and you share the. So when I was a lawyer, I was doing, I worked on this case for New Square. It was horrible. Oh. This guy was really horrible. the government came down, whatever. In those days, no one had cell phones. These guys had beepers. Okay, that's how you reach them.
Mm-hmm.
But so my main contact was a lovely guy, and when he went to, my guys were in charge of the cover up. So I thought they were tzaddikim, because they didn't do any of the bad thing. They were just, you know, in charge of covering up. And the fact that they went to jail was because they were loyal to the Rebbe, who put them in charge of the cover-up. But that's not the story. Anyway, I'm working with these guys. You can't talk. I'm working with these guys, and there were like 5-15 receptionists calls me. She says, you know, Mr. Weber, these people waiting for you in reception. I said, I don't have a meeting. Ask them their names. She said, when you meet them, you'll know. Okay, so I come there. I come to the street to see them sitting in reception,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So they said they're from New Square. So I say, I'm so sorry, I didn't do a meeting. No. Anyway, we go to a conference room. It becomes very clear after 5 minutes, this is a cold call for Tztaka. Now I'm annoyed, because this has nothing to do with the case, and I'm busy, and now they just get me there. So the guy takes out, you know, a Yisachar Zevulun contract. And he starts explaining it to me, and I'm listening, and I'm nodding, and the whole thing. And then he says to me, what do you think? I say, fantastic. I want to do this. So he says, that's so great. So I say, tell me what I should learn and how much you'll pay me. So he's like, no, you don't understand. I say, I completely understand. Mm-hmm.
You want to
pay somebody. I understand exactly that somebody will get the schar, half the schar for the learning, and pay money. I said, I want to learn.
You get this.
Anyway, I had a great time. Sadly, because I had such a great time, no, I had to do it. I had to give them money because I spent so much time having fun with them.
Oh,
I felt guilty. But so the Rambam's deal with his brother was like a halachic deal. It wasn't a handout. Okay. Let's deal with the question.
And you didn't keep them out of jail.
Let's deal. No, I didn't. By the way, just a great thing. You know what they call jail?
Kolo.
Yeshiva. I went to yeshiva. Okay, fine. Now, who can you be yotze the mitzvah of halva, of loaning money to? Let's ask the question, is it only destitute people?
No.
Or, give me a chance. Okay, could it also include rich people? So, here's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Sukkah, source number 4, says as follows. Mem tesom beis, Tonu Rabbanan. Bishloshadvarim gidola gimilut chasadim yoter min hatztaka. Now, what does that mean? First of all, on some level, you know, we have like big concepts in halacha, and then they get narrowed as we focus in. So there's a great concept called gimilut chasadim, which I don't know how would you define it.
Kindness.
No, but gemilut chasadim just means like being good, doing chasad. Okay, right.
You're loaning your car.
So the Gemara says that gemilut chasadim is more expansive, maybe means greater, hard to know, than tzedaka. The assumption is tzedaka could be a subset of gemilut chasadim, but gemilut chasadim is bigger. How? Tzedaka, says the Gemara, b'mamonai. The mitzvah of tzedakah can only be done with money. It's not 1,000% true. Don't pass this way. Again, giving a guy a job probably is a mitzvah of tzedakah, but fine. Gemilut chasadim, bein begufo, bein b'mamona. Right? Gemilut chasadim means a guy needs me to help him move his piano. I don't spend any money. That's gemilut chasadim. So it's broader than tzedakah. Here's the one we want. Tzedakah la'aniyim. Right? Giving money has to be done to do that mitzvah, has to be done to poor people. Gemilut chasadim bein la'aniyim bein la'ashirim. But you can do gemilut chasadim to rich people as well. Again, helping a move his piano. And the last one, staka la'chayim. You can only give staka to a living person. But gemilut chasadim bein la'chayim bein la'metim. You can do gemilut chasadim to a person who passed away. Right, going to the funeral, helping with the funeral, things like that. Gemilut chasadim. So here you see the Gemara talks about staka for poor people, gemilut chasadim even for rich people. So there is a role for gemilut chasadim for rich people, but it sounds like in the Gemara, it's not 100% true if that would work for staka. Now, if lending money is not staka, but is gemilut chasadim, then the Gemara would be very clear that lending money to a rich person is a kiyum of the mitzvah of lending money. Okay? It could be, even just on the hava mina level, it could be you say to yourself, yeah, but what's the point? The rich person can give me the money back. Where's the benefit there? But the answer is, even the Gemara knew there was a time value to money. Even if they didn't actually deposit their money in a bank, but they understood that. Giving money to somebody, you know, is a sacrifice on your part, even if you're 100% sure that he's going to give it back. Now, you could ask yourself, what's the point of giving money to a rich person? But the answer is, there's liquidity issues, right? The guy has money, but to buy this thing, he would have to sell his crop in a bad time. There is value to lending money to rich people. In fact, you know, bizarrely, but if you look, you know, 90% of loans, the value of 90% of loans in the world are to rich people or to corporations. They're not to poor people. It's bizarrely, poor people can't, you know, the people who need the money most are least likely to get it.
Yeah, but they may hire the poor people, so that's why you
want to. So great, so that's a good theory that capitalists use. And they might be right. Or they might just be self-serving, selfish people. Okay. Now, look at number five. The Rambam couldn't be any clearer. The Rambam, first of all, be clear. The Rambam has one set of halachos called, you know, matnas aniyim. That's what we would think of tzedakah. Then the Rambam has another set of halachos called malva velova, which you wouldn't think has anything to do with tzedakah. That's just laws of borrowing and lending. But you look at the first one. Says the Rambam in number five, mitzvah, this is the first halacha in Hilchos Malva Velova. Mitzvat aseh lehalvot la'aniyei Yisrael. Okay, it is a positive commandment to lend money to who?
Poor people. Boy, the poor Jews.
It could be good. La'aniyei Yisrael. Here, it couldn't be any clearer. Not rich people. Shene'emar im kesef talve et ami et ha'ani'imach ar pasuk. And then he says, Yachol Rishut. Maybe you read the pasuk to be if. Exactly what we've seen before. And now the Rambam says, he echoes and amplifies what he said in the Sefer HaMitzvos. He says, "Umitzvah zo gidola min hatzdaka el ha'ani hashoel." Lending money is a greater mitzvah than giving money to somebody who asks you for it. A poor person asks you for a handout. Why? Shezeh kivar Nitzrach lishol, v'zeh adayin lo higia l'midazo. Again, the Rambam says, the guy who has to ask you for a handout, he's already, you know, humiliated himself. But the person who doesn't yet need a handout, who can still take a loan, he still has his self-worth. And the Rambam thinks to save that guy's self-worth by lending him money is much more valuable than just giving the guy a handout. V'hatorah hikpida al mi sheyimneh milahalvot la'ani, and the Torah is particularly angry at people who refuse to lend money. Shenamar v'ra'a eincha ba'achicha ha'evyon v'lo titen la. The Torah says v'ra'a eincha ba'achicha ha'evyon. You know, he closed his eyes to his destitute brother, and he refused to lend him money. The Torah is angry at him. Okay, so here again we see the Rambam holding that the mitzvah of halva, of lending, is even greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah. Let's look at one more source on this issue. What about rich people? Look at number six. Detani Rabbi Yosef, our pasuk, im kesef talve et ami et ha'ani imach. Ami v'nachri, ami kodein, right? Jew and Gentile, first lent to the Jew. Ani v'ashir, ani kodein. Poor and rich, the poor person gets first. Aniecha va'aniei ircha, your poor people and poor people from another city. Aniei ircha kodmin, your poor people come first. Aniei ircha va'aniei ircheres, aniei ircha kodmin. Why do they read that twice? Aniecha va'aniei ircha, right. Aniecha means like your family beats your town, but your town beats other towns. Omar mar, last full line in six. Ami v'nachri, ami kodein pshita. Right, what's the chiddush between a Jew and a Gentile? Of course you're going to give to a Jew. Am Rav Nachman, Am Lihuna, Lo Nitzricha Da'afilu L'Nachri Beribit Uli Yisrael Bechina. You might have thought that if I lent to the Gentile with interest, that might be somehow a bigger mitzvah, bizarrely, than lending to a Jew. That interest, the answer is not. But what doesn't the Gemara ask about? The Gemara says, I'll read it again in the second line, Aniva Ashir, Ani Koden. Shouldn't the Gemara say, Aniva Ashir, Ani Koden? Pshita. Of course the mitzvah is greater to lend money to a poor person than a rich person. So, I don't have an answer to that question, but there are people who think that this Gemara supports the proposition against the Rambam. The Rambam says the mitzvah is to give to a poor person, not to a rich person. Here the Gemara seems to leave open the possibility that lending money, any act of lending money interest-free, is a mitzvah. And it's true, it's true. If you have two possible loans to make, one to a poor person, one to a rich person, you should definitely make it to the poor person first. But if the only person looking for a loan is a rich person, in this Gemara it sounds like you would still get a mitzvah. What would the mitzvah be? You lost the time value of your money. Okay, it's true. You don't feel like you're going to Olam Haba because you helped a rich person with his liquidity issue. You know, he was otherwise going to have to sell his stocks, but it doesn't make you feel like you're going to Olam Haba like you would to lend to a poor person. But it would still be a mitzvah. Again, that's against the Rambam. Quick.
In your limited funds, if two guys are in the waiting room, the guy that's about to be unemployed, and his boss looking for business, keep the business open, which would keep this guy at work, you can only give to one of them. Do you give to the...
Are you just trying to justify your position?
No, I'm wondering which is a higher mitzvah.
The poor
to loan it to
mitzvah.
The business
the
guy
says the
who's going to run his business.
The answer is the poor person. That's
but you're
answer.
Indirectly giving it to this poor guy. He's going to keep his business open and make
sure
that guy has
his job. In some bizarre
job.
Situation where the guy says, I'm such a saint, everybody who works for me is dirt poor, I'm supporting 50 people. Okay,
no,
maybe
he's
you're
just
right.
Simple, it's a
maybe you're right. It's just, it's not 100% true. We could argue about like tax cuts. Well, that's the debate. Right? Where's that money going? So if you support tax cuts, you're saying because more people are getting jobs and they're paying bigger bonuses. And other people will say, no, they're using it for stock buybacks and it's not really... There's always a question. When you give a loan to a poor person, you know that 100 cents on the dollar are going to the poor person. When you give a loan to the owner of a business, let's say in the best case scenario, 75 cents are going to... Okay, it's a great thing, but it's not the same.
But the guy's got a business, he may... lose the business and 50 people will be out of work.
So that's what Bruce is saying. In that case, right, it could be that in that case he constitutes an ani. All I'm saying is, if you had a choice between lending to a poor person or lending to a rich person who needs the money now, because otherwise he'd have to liquidate his portfolio, it's clear you have to give to the poor person. But if you're saying, by my loan, I can save a guy's business, and the business supports the steel mill, in which the whole town works, and if we don't, yeah, then for sure. That's an argument. But I would argue, according to the Rambam, that is a case of ani. If he doesn't get loan from you, he's going bankrupt.
Yeah.
And his bankruptcy is going to ripple through the town and through the economy, then for sure you'd be right.
He doesn't... Rambam allocates this mitzvah in Chutmah the middle of the day.
Right.
But
I said that while you were having breakfast.
Right. That was just
listening. Yeah, exactly.
But he doesn't... mention the term legal chassidut.
He doesn't do it here. That's right. I want to get to that because that, you know, we throw around all these terms and it goes really to the question of if you had asked me, again, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but if you had asked me, I would have said that halva'a, lending money, is a subset of the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is a subset of the mitzvah of gemilut chassidut. And we know, because we've seen this before, that the Rambam says, you know, particulars of a mitzvah do not get counted as their own mitzvah, right? There's one mitzvah that means that requires you to take a lulav and an esrog and hadassim and aravos. There aren't four different mitzvahs, even though it's four species. Okay, the Rambam thinks that the Rambam, for example, thinks there's a mitzvah to build a Beis Hamikdash. Included in that is building an aron and a shulchan and a menorah and a mizbeach. So I would have said right away the question we need to deal with is. Okay, so there's a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, and one form of giving tzedakah, or the best form of giving tzedakah, is lending money.
But he didn't say that.
So we have to try to answer that. And your idea is a good segue. Okay, look at source number 7. Here the Rambam, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, not in Malva Velova. This is one we touched on 2 weeks ago. It's a very famous Rambam. The Rambam has 8 not categories,
Madrigo.
What?
Madrigo.
But I'm looking for an English word. Steps or hierarchies.
Subsets.
Hierarchy.
Okay. Of giving, of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Mm-hmm. Here we go, number 7. Matnas ani imperik yod alacha zayin. Shmona ma'alot yesh bitzedakah, zo lemala mizo. They're not all the same. There's a hierarchy. Ma'ala gidola she'en lema'ala mimena. By the way, so whenever I'm using extra words, so cool. I know what ma'ala gidola means. But she'en lema'ala mimena, there's nothing higher than it. Ze hamachazik biyad Yisrael shamach. A person who supports a Jew who is falling into difficult times. V'notein lo matana o halva'a. He gives him a gift or a loan. O oseimo shutfut, or he does a partnership with him in business. O masilo milacha, or he finds him a job. Kidei lechazek et yado ad shelo yitzarech libriot lishol. Says the Rambam, it's so fascinating, it's so counterintuitive. The greatest thing you could do is like what we would call, you know, prophylactic action. He's not poor, you're a child. He's not poor, okay? You're lower than a child, okay? He's not poor. Okay?
Just trying to calm the situation. It's a very serious issue.
He's not poor. You know what I mean, okay? He's not poor.
Yes.
It's preventative. Is that a better word? It's preventative. I mean, the Rambam really thinks to be mechazek a person, because once he's poor, he's poor.
Yeah.
And he's debased and he feels terrible and everybody knows it. But maybe the business loan situation, the Rambam thinks, you know, you're really sensitive. This guy's on the edge. He's not poor, but he's on the edge. If you could stop him, he'll be able to keep his self-dignity and his self-worth and his standing in the community. Says, and also, probably, it takes less money now than it would take later. The Rambam does not say that. But it's clear that the Rambam's conception of tzedakah, the highest level of tzedakah, is preventative. It's not to the homeless guy. That's for sure mitzvah. But it's to make sure the guy never becomes homeless. And the more we look at these sources, the more I see the Rambam sees the halacha as being a form of like organized social services. Right? Which is, before all these terrible things happen, you go and you get the little help that you need to keep you, you know, there's a medrash that says, it's the mitzvah of ti'ina u'prika, right? It's an animal that's overloaded, right? So the stuff is falling off it. So there's a mitzvah to try to, you know, rearrange the bags on top of the animal so they don't fall off. And the Medrash says, you know, if there's a really huge load, but it's still on the animal, so one person can reposition it. Once it falls to the ground, it's going to take five people to pick it back up. That's the metaphor for the Rambam. Mm-hmm. Right? Once, if you let the guy fall, it's going to take a ton of, and you know, whatever it is, it's going to save him. Okay? That's the highest. Okay. So, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
The movie It's a Wonderful Life with James Stewart.
Yeah.
Everything we're talking about, okay, if you've never seen the movie, okay, this is exactly the thing. This is what his life is. He gives loans.
Right.
And then a banker cheats him out of money, and the people give him back the money, so.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But in the end, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't want to put that. Okay.
Go ahead. The Alzen Nehemar and the Rambam here at the end of number 7. That's always what it's on. Was on TV when I was a kid. Okay. The Alzen Nehemar, the Hechazaktabo, support him. The Hechazaktabo, not before he falls. Support him. Gervitoshav v'chayimach kilomar hachazekbo. Ad shelo yipol v'yitzarech. Again, counterintuitive. Give the money to a guy to stop him from falling, as opposed to the guy who's already fallen, which, of course, if it's to give him to tzedakah. Okay. But now here, again, the Rambam says, Shmona ma'alot yesh bitzedakah, and the highest one is lending money. So again, I ask, great. So lending money is a form of giving tzedakah. How did it become its own mitzvah? In the Sefer HaMitzvos. So I want to suggest, I saw something written in the name of Rav Salvechik. It's fascinating in and of itself. Maybe it answers the question, maybe it doesn't. Okay, look at number 8. This is wholly unrelated to anything we're doing, but it's a great halacha. We've seen it before. Says the Rambam, mitzvat aseh shel divrehem, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Levaker cholim, to visit the sick, ulenachem alaminim, to do nichum avelim, and to take the body out, all these things, achnasas kalavayas, all these things. All these things are mitzvot d'rabbanan. Unique, discrete acts. Okay? Go to the end of the third line. Ve'elu hein gimilut chasadim shebigufo she'en lahem shiur. These are gimilut chasadim. I wish we had a better translation for gimilut chasadim.
Loving
kindness. Acts of kindness.
Loving kindness.
Bigufan. Meaning, I can't send a check for nichum aveilim or bigufon. I can't send somebody else. I don't send my regards. I go. Bigufo, I go.
Personally,
and there's no minimum or maximum.
Personally participate.
Good. There's no minimum or maximum. Good. Now, says the Rambam, here's the part we want. Afal pi shekol mitzvot elu midivrehem, even though each individual act, nichum aveilim, bikur cholim, they're each mitzvot derabanan, mitzvot midivrehem, harehin bichlal v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Nevertheless, they are included in a mitzvah d'oraisa, which it's not called Gmilut Chasadim, but it's probably the closest thing to it, called V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha, loving your fellow as yourself. What's that mitzvah? Says the Rambam, bottom line. Kol ha-divarim sh'ata rotzeh she'yasu otan l'cha acherim, all those things that you want other people to do to you, asei ata otan la'achicha b'torav mitzvot. You should do to others. That's the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha. Asks every single person who ever saw this halach, I don't understand. If Bikur Cholim and Nichum Aveilim are part of a mitzvah d'oraisa of the Ahavta L'recha Kamocha, what's the value of calling them individually mitzvot d'rabbanan? What does it mean to say that this act of Nichum Aveilim is a rabbinic obligation when you're still, you'd be Yotzei of a higher level of mitzvah d'oraisa of the Ahavta L'recha Kamocha? So the answer is, there are a lot of different answers. But the answer is that when you identify a discrete act, it gives it additional importance. Or say this, you know, double word score. That when I do Nichum Aveilim, the act of Nichum Aveilim is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but I also get double credit because at the same time, right, the rabbis called it a mitzvah, and at the same time, I'm being Yotzei Mitzvah D'oraisa V'yahavta L'recha Kamocha.
I understand that.
Suggests Rav Soloveitchik, you could use the same idea to understand why there are two separate mitzvos, one tzedakah and one halva'ah, lending money. Says the Rav, lending money is a bigger mitzvah. It's a more discreet mitzvah. It's a specific act. And so the Rambam says, I need a separate act, a separate mitzvah of lending money, because I want people to know that in those circumstances, that is the preferred way of acting. But that doesn't mean that I can't get double word score. Mm-hmm. It's true. When I lend money, I do a discrete mitzvah called lending money. By the way, that discrete mitzvah of lending money is also a kiyum of a different mitzvah called tzedakah. Just like there's a huge mitzvah called V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha that could contain within it subcategories that themselves constitute individual mitzvahs. So, when you do the mitzvah of tzedakah, you don't necessarily get the mitzvah of lending money, right? When somebody comes to me for money and I give him money, that's great, I did the mitzvah of tzedakah. But says that's one mitzvah, says the Rambam. But if I got him before he became poor, and I lent him money, I just did two mitzvahs d'oraisa. One is I lent him money. The second is I did the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay? So that's why it's not 100% convincing, because there are questions you could ask. But it is at least the Rav's attempt to answer the obvious question, why would the Rambam have two separate mitzvahs when they really look like one is a subcategory of the other? The answer is there are other situations in which the Rambam does this, like Nichum Aveilim, Bikur Cholim, V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha. So too, halva'ah, lending money, within the, you know, and a separate bigger mitzvah of tzedaka.
Do most mafarshim agree that this is one of the targets?
Yes, because it's a pasuk. Okay. The problem is it's a pasuk.
Yeah, you can't really.
Once you get that in kesef talvet amin means when or you have to lend money, you're kind of stuck. Okay. Let's see if we can't just finish with the chinuch. Says the chinuch number 9, lahalvot la'ani is a mitzvah. How much do you lend him? Kahasagat hayad kifi mashat tarichlo. Obviously, you can't lend him more than you have. Nobody thinks you have to take a bank loan in order to lend money. Okay? And how much he needs. And here you have this strange language again. Leman harchiv lo ulahakel me'al of anchato. To lessen his burden. Vizot ha mitzvah shel halva'a hi yoter chazaka u mechuyevet mi mitzvah netinat hatztaka. Why? And here explains. Shemi shenit gala v'noda dichako bein b'nei adam. A person whose terrible financial situation is known to all. V'gila panav lishol mehem. And now he's so poor he has to ask for a handout. Ein dachko v'afilato k'mishadayin lo ba la'ota busha v'yarei mehikanes ba. It's what it is, it's really like the psychological, it's just so interesting that it plays out in halacha. It's the psychological idea where the anticipation of the terrible thing, or the anticipation of pain, is often much worse than the pain itself. So the way the Chinuch says it, which is also the way the Rambam says it, is, you know, you can't sleep at night. You can't sleep at night because you're terrified that you're going to have to ask people for help. When you ask people for help, they're going to know, and you're going to feel, you know. Once you have to do it, it's bad. But it's not nearly as bad as the anticipation of, you know, I once read a book. We'll finish with this, but it's interesting. The Stoics, you know, they don't want you to worry about anything. So they have this exercise that this guy did. He wrote the book. It's fascinating. He's a Brit. So he wrote it. He had to do this exercise where he went on the tube. I could translate, it's the subway in London. And he had to announce, in the middle of rush hour, he had to announce the stations. Now that's humiliating, because you look like there's something terribly wrong. You had to, you know, Edgware! You know, and so he said he was sweating, and he was terrified, because he knew he had to do this. This was the exercise he agreed to do. He said, but after two or three times of announcing the next station, people stopped looking at him. It wasn't, you know, and the point was that the anticipation of humiliation is actually worse than the humiliation. And you can teach yourself that. And so I really think that, you know, the underlying philosophy behind the Rambam and behind this idea is that once you're poor, I don't want to say you made peace with it. People know, okay, now you're on your way back. You know, everybody knows that you're addicted. Okay, now you're on your way back. But the fear of people finding out that you're addicted, the fear of people finding out that you did this terrible thing, that's much worse than, you know, than the actual thing. I think if people didn't know in advance when you go to the doctor, you know, like infants, they were, yeah, a bris mila. I can't imagine anything scarier than having a bris mila, right? But, you know, but so much of it, you know, because it happens to an 8-year old,
Eight days.
Thank God. It's 8 days. It would be much better. My son is still angry. The point is, because you know, there's no anticipation of pain. Right. The actual pain. I read an article. Last thing, was fascinated by this. This long distance runner, like an ultra marathoner, but there was something wrong with her. She didn't feel pain. Right? You know, when her body broke down, it broke down, but she couldn't feel pain. And the competitors complained bitterly that it wasn't fair, because so much of the problem in endurance sports is the anticipation, the mental struggle you have with, if you could just take that away, people could run much farther. And last thing, because we should celebrate, it's the, sadly, Roger Bannister passed away this week.
Wow.
The greatness of Roger Bannister was twofold. Oh, Bruce, for God's sake.
Under four minute mile.
Okay, do you know that after Roger Bannister broke the 4 minute mile barrier, three other people broke it 6 months later.
Right.
It was a mental thing.
I could drive it under 2 minutes.
Once you show.
Yes.
Okay, have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ellie.